accept them. But we are quite keen to talk about how things can happen and what might be done there as well. So we want to think about how to balance the time for you next year. We can have enough on that story for you, but that's what we want to talk about next year and what we might consider here.
Well, maybe I'll ask you then, or Elizabeth, or give you the option, by the way, to say this. Barbara, let me know that anything I understand on the record, and kind of had a bit of discussion about sort of providing, how you provide comments and feedback to the IT generally, and then also specifically in the context of research, but that perhaps you want to continue that conversation. So I think up to you if you would want to start to continue that conversation first of all, or if you have any questions for us that are more generally on the project or on SAE, and then can you help me
out? Maybe Katrina, you would start by giving them the summary of what we've heard so far on our outreach. Because I tried to give them a flavor of that, but I'm not as knowledgeable as you are.
Yeah, but then, by the way, I do say, because I warn you all, that when I start doing far too much detail, I must please stop me. I try to make sure to do that.
You start giving out postcodes to Bristol.
You need to become increasingly less subtle in your sort of body language.
We're going to have a half hour total and then break for lunch.
Okay, perfect. So I will kind of keep it high level and leave it to you to ask me more detailed questions. Maybe what we had is that since we spoke to you in June, because obviously we spoke to you in June about the idea of funding, and we had a good debate, I think, with you and the global preparers around the lending and funding proposals. Since then, we've been on and about having as many meetings, I suppose, as we can, largely with you and others from the investor and analyst community, but also, and that was of course very much focused on assessing benefits, real benefits that would flow from this project, and making changes to this accounting. And we also, the other piece of our out and about outreach was to try and focus on the cost side as well and to speak to preparers. So on that point, first of all, I suppose we have gone and had what we call individual speaker working meetings. Mostly lessees, but also a few lessors. And there the focus was to try and go, to these companies' premises, meet with them individually, spend half a day and longer, really trying to get to a level of detail of understanding about the costs of implementation, you can't really get to, say, in a written comment letter. So far we've had more than 20 of those meetings. I think it's fair to say that clearly at every meeting there are concerns about cost and complexity of the proposals. I think what was useful from those individual meetings was, by the way, that we weren't just talking to the accounting people, we got access to, IT people, investor relations people, legal departments. So we've got a more complete picture, and I suppose that around the cost concerns, what was useful was that at each meeting, and understanding much better the sort of legal portfolios that these people have, you can really pinpoint much more clearly what are the specific drivers of the cost for those entities. And so when people have cost concerns, very often you can pinpoint it down to, well, it's that one particular aspect of the proposal that's really driving it to the entity, or it's those two particular aspects that's really driving it. It's because they're concerned about 100 centimeters per and work out what specific economic incentives, etc. So that's been useful in that respect. And in terms of all the meetings we've had with investors and analysts, we have put a summary of what we had up until the end of September on our website. At this point, the meetings have continued. So at this stage, we've had more than 40 meetings, and we've had more than 200 attendees, investors and analysts. And thanks to some of you who have helped us access some of those investors and analysts who we haven't traditionally been able to speak to. And with the high-level message coming through there is that we feel we do have broad support for the lending accounting proposals. Credit analysts, I suppose, in particular, credit analysts are generally very supportive of the proposals, and that probably is more of a focus on sort of liabilities commitment side and focus on getting us better information on the reach. The views from the equity analysts are slightly more mixed. Obviously, on the equity side, some of the equity analysts would prefer to get bigger assets from analysts on the balance sheet, more of a whole asset type of approach. Some others say that they would prefer to have some sort of an ongoing perpetual commitment as opposed to just being a contractual commitment. But we still think overall there's kind of a majority and a general support for moving forward, and that there is really benefit to be achieved and moving forward with the lessee accounting proposals would really provide investors and analysts with a much better starting point from which to do their analysis. In saying that, not everybody agrees, and I think that's clear in what the FASB, the group, the IAC have reached a conclusion on. I think again, though, for them, it's not that they don't think leases create assets and liabilities. I think in their comment letter they say they believe a majority of investors and analysts view leases as creating assets and debt-like liabilities. It's just that when they look through, they say because no one amount could ever reflect exactly everyone's views of what leases are, they would prefer a much more extensive we've also had some round tables that we have public round tables in September and October, where we had mixed participants and therefore mixed views. So with that, maybe that's high level, sort of an overview of where we are in different pieces of what we've heard so far. And I suppose that actually if like, you have any particular questions.
Is it fair to say, Katrina, that because of the IAC position that we've been hearing more from people who are concerned about the cost, that there is very little benefit for users, and therefore we might consider going in a different direction than like just doing disclosure?
Well, I think they're fine. I mean, one of the effects that you can see, and by the way, I should caveat my comments to say we have now got something like 650 comment letters, and I personally have not read all of those as of yet. I am making my way through, but as I make my way through a lot of those comment letters, you do see quite a lot of reference in those comment letters to the views that came out from IAC. And therefore prepares even the accounting firms and others, you know, with reference to the public statement that came out from IAC saying, well, is there really benefit? It seems clear there's cost. And say the reason some of the accounting says we're not sure whether the benefits outweigh the cost overall. And others saying, well, it's clear given that view that there isn't very much benefit here, we think there's going to be lots of cost, so surely that's evidence that cost to outweigh the benefits and the risks.
Question about that. If they're going to disclose, they're going to just incur the cost anyway. So,
yeah.
If the end way to save cost is to do nothing.
Well, I think by the way, Gina, that's part of the conversation that we've been having, you know, with some people. Interesting, just earlier this week, we had a conversation with our advisory council about leases, and that was one thing that was raised, you know. So, you know, if an alternative for the board was to say, well, okay, we should just work on disclosure, let's not change financial accounting, at least one of the preparer representatives of the advisory council indicated that she said, from a preparer perspective, disclosure only is simply not an option for us. From her standpoint, that she felt that would mean still incurring quite a lot of the cost, and then potentially still be open to having to do more change later. And it's part of what we tried to do as part of the fieldwork as well as really ask that question. And I think it's my statement that prepared to say that geography doesn't necessarily change cost at all. If you're putting the same output of information in the notes compared to the balance sheet, that doesn't change cost. The only way you change cost is if you change the output. So in some way you make a disclosure and you make the disclosure be something different from what you would have to do if you were putting it on the balance sheet.
Is it possible to go forward with a simplified method for the companies
where the effect is not that big, because what I have found in my research is that most companies are not affected at all, or very little, but some of the companies are tremendously affected. And what I want is, of course, a detailed presentation, not disclosure, but on the face of the income statement and the balance sheet in those companies where the effects are big, that I can settle with a simplified method for the companies where the effect in comparison to equity is below like 5% of equity or something.
I mean, I think that we definitely have a lot of suggestions, again, prior or previous work already things done, and even the comments that is on various ways of simplifying the proposals. And I think part of the process that we're now going through, our staff and the board will go through, is really, you know, looking at that cost side and assessing whether there are ways that we could really reduce, you know, the cost quite significantly based on what prepared say without necessarily using a huge amount of benefit. And one thing here is something that has come up quite often is just whether often can be very high volumes of quite small tickets.
I'm actually quite surprised how the whole discussion, although there is there a benefit because as a group of users in the US that disputes or has some second thoughts about benefits. Whereas I think many users would agree that there are significant benefits, and somehow that message clearly is not the going thought in the benefiting world, that users do see the benefit. I'm a bit worried that we have a misperception at the moment, and we may explore, maybe we should consider exploring whether the CMEC could play a role in counterbalancing the current misperception about how the analyst community views the benefits of these projects.
I think it seems to me that we've got a very clear majority of users who say we need improvement. That's very, very clear. I've done some sort of investigations amongst our client base, and the feedback we've got from a relatively small sample is there is a small majority of people who say, yes, absolutely, we want more stuff on balance sheet, more operating leases capitalized, to use very broad terms. There's probably another quarter of the respondents who say, well, that's what we really want, but we settle for disclosure. So sort of improve something, don't just do nothing. And then there's a significant but a small, you know, small minority, 25% or so, who seem to be saying very different ways, but you know, don't do it. So I think the majority is very much in favour of doing something. I think what it then comes down towards is the cost benefit payoff. And I think at the moment the ISD and the FASB are failing to make the case for that cost benefit payoff. And the thing you're saying is disclosure only is going to cost as much or nearly as much as putting it on the balance sheet. And at a minimum, disclosure only is wanted by, let's say, sort of 70-75% of the people, a large majority. Then what we're basically saying is a large majority of users want something that is going to cost preparers. So irrespective of what you do to satisfy users, preparers are going to have to suffer a cost. So then what you need to do is to do the analysis that you need to do and say, well, is there a way of finessing our requirements a little bit so we cut back on 20 and save them 80? And if you can do that, then you sort it. But that's the case that needs to be presented. Because I think at the moment, you know, I don't want to make this sort of feel personal because I don't mean that, but you know, you broadly means the board and the staff, you are failing to persuade people. There are lots of people around saying have good beliefs, but they don't feel that the argument is being presented persuasively. And I think the cost is part of that.
Yeah.
maybe we should, instead of talking about DKM, like my remark was, can we do something at CMEC? And talking about the census of 25, 50 years, I think maybe we can at CMEC see where the common ground is and say, and provide a counterbalancing statement.
So we still come down to the basic question that if you're going to wipe 10% off the market cap of the world by doing this interesting accounting change, that might be too high a cost. It's going to be 0.001%.
Well, we could argue that you'll have less insolvency, so the liabilities will be more visible, and, you know.
But I think the cost benefit payoff is where the argument now sits.
If you're talking about in terms of 10% decline in market cap for a company, based on improved disclosures, probably we need it today instead of tomorrow.
Or
let's not use money, but it's the cost. The companies will have to pay real money. If we need to identify what is the cost of companies doing that, and then we need to make the case that yes, it's worth it.
And the benefit is the correct allocation of capital.
Yeah.
So the first thing is just because one U.S. group says settled disclosure, I think it's a huge red herring. What that group says is let's take that one group. They basically said the system's broken. You need a whole bunch of disclosure anyway. What we're hearing is there's a problem. And even the U.S. group says there's a problem. Their solution, by the way, was disclosure, which has the same cost. But I'm not sure how many user groups have said there isn't a problem, but my impression is they've all said there's a problem. And there's a lot of different solutions out there. But I think we're making much too much a big deal about what this one group says, and we're not taking the message that they've said it doesn't work. Now, as far as cost-benefit analysis, this is the same old thing we always hear. We have a large percentage of the users that say you need to fix something. We all know that the leasing standard issue has been known for, generations. This is a well-known issue. There are going to be costs with it, and I don't understand why the cost-benefit equation is any different than all the other changes to financial standards. If there ever was a standard that people are saying doesn't work, it's this one. We use the leasing standard as the poster child for why you don't use bright lines and standards. We use partner Deloitte said it was the best way of gaining the financial statements was to use leases. I'm shocked that we're even having this conversation. Yes, at the fringes, if we can get 80% of what we want and decrease 80% of the cost of the repairs, by all means, let's do it. But this conversation should not be sidetracked by one group who happens to say disclosure.
Is there a consensus in this group that we should proceed with the project and put the assets and liabilities on the balance sheet? Mm-hmm. Is that the consensus of this group?
In fairness, anybody
disagrees. Is there anyone that doesn't think we should proceed down the path with our due process and complete this project in its normal course without taking liabilities on the balance sheet?
No hands.
No.
So are we going towards a potential letter from this group which would say that? And it would actually also say, by the way, we welcome the fact that IACS also thinks there's a problem, which is fixing, and I think this is where I'm putting there, in fact, we know we have a vast majority of users who want to see the information, and therefore that the preparers will incur the cost. We welcome the fact that the IAC is committed to trying to simplify it, to reduce the cost as much as possible. But that this has been a long-standing problem, we are absolutely clear that this is what we want.
The fundamental problem that needs to be fixed. Let's be fair, we've all proposed or listened to other alternatives. There was a myriad of alternatives. in the increment wisdom of the ISP, you guys have settled on one. And this is a case where, honestly, that's your job. You've done your job. You've listened to everybody. You've weighed the pros and cons. And you basically told us this is, let me say, the least bad of the ones or the best of the ones. But I think we accept that you've done your work and this is the one you think is the best. And let's go with it.
Well, I've spent a lot of time together with the three men from the other studio on this project, and I think it's been rewarding to be out to meet with other people, and I thank you for those that have helped us to see people. I think Peter is very spot on with this with cost benefit. I think, first of all, that we are heading for a rather ugly time. We know that the important people in Brussels are being lobbied since a long time. They've been talking about all the horrible things that have happened. We have letters from more than a handful of members of the US Congress writing to us with, I know, 20 questions. Have you considered this and this and this and that? And we have power from these leasing industry that are worried about the future, and we have the big corporates who are fighting for not showing their things on the balance sheet. We have strong support, people like you. But in the end, we will have that to fend off this. The base for saying that this should happen, there are a lot of really rubbish arguments in my mind. But cost and complexity is there. And with these 20 and a few corporates we have been seeing, we have been out there, we gave them questions in advance, tell us what this means. And we have a couple of cases where people have given very broad answers of this will cost us 100 million euros or something. And other people have really done the homework and they analyzed and so forth. But we don't really have the cost and the complexity issue ready for an analysis. So we have to do more work on that. I am personally convinced of having maybe roughly 20 meetings with sort of the 3-4 hour session together with IT people, investor relations people, auditors, internal controls, etc. That's a lot of exaggeration on that. And we will also take some of the response letters that are critical and go back to these countries that you are saying that you have a big cost and complexity. Let us know what we have. And then in the end, we will do changes. We will not do what we have in the exposure doc, we will do adjustments, and that's our job. And in the end, it will be a matter then to say, will we get the backing from those who are important in the world? This will be a territory that the world accepts independent standard setting based on logic, or is it a matter of saying political influence has more value than logic? And I think this will be a real, real test. If this model for the future would work, or will we have now for a sort of political standard setting based on who responds to the re-election of people and things like that. But it will be a tricky fight. And I think if the investment community doesn't stand up, I see the problem, some doing to it. But if we don't get real, real solid support, there will be people who will have an argument. We talk about it, both in Europe and in the US. Very forceful lobbying organizations. They have ways of working that we are not used to.
So a statement from the CNEC would be helpful?
We're not
going to give
you advice on what we should do.
No,
it's up to you, of course. I think you should have a discussion with your American friends and see why you come to so different conclusions. Because I don't understand that.
Well, I think we can talk about why we come to different conclusions. Why, and we can also talk about why some other groups have conclusions are hard, but their conclusions are hard to justify. We've always struggled about whether we as a group should be letting it given the environment we have. But in this particular case, we have the user group for the FASB. I think we should be out there saying, by the way, the other group has a completely different opinion, and these are why we have them. I mean, I think it's the only reason not to do it is if the ISP doesn't want our opinion in the public domain, that's fine.
We are live and on air.
Well, I think they've got it wrong, but the other thing is, somebody suggests that this particular group listens to, is somehow attached to the herb or somehow not independent from the fact that we just don't know it. We're a stubborn bunch of people. And the fact is, I think one of the things that's interesting about this group is we're a stubborn bunch of people who like to disagree just as a matter of principle. And when we, and none of us are telling, nobody raised their hand saying, don't go where you're going, which is unusual for us to do so much.
Yes,
I'm here.
The putting of all the leaves on the balance is a long-held dream of the investors at large, and we are at a critical juncture whether we can realize that dream or not. So under circumstances, I agree that we're going to write a letter, although it is sort of the exceptional for our tradition, but we are at an emergency state. But the question here then, what would be the content of the letter? If we write in the letter, we still want it because we need it, then that should, I think simply it will be disregarded. Because the issue is that for the preparer, there's a cost. I know you want, we don't do that because it's too costly. So I think that in order for our letter to get some attention, realistic attention, we should write upon something about the cost. What kind of conventional compromise we can make considering the environment? I have two ideas. One idea is the materiality, which somebody already spoke about. We don't want to see the tiny little company showing all the details on it. Only the big one show them. The other one is restore accounting. Some of the Japanese preparers are against this one because of restore perspective. We wrote comments with the we didn't pay too much attention for restore side. And I think that the restore, they also have a pretty wide range of restores. Pure ones, the consensus in them, then we need to have the detailed information that is required in the exposure draft. But for the other ones who are doing that basically as a type of business, maybe they can have easier options. So in other words, according to the business models, I think restaurants may be allowed to use optional accounting regulations, which is of course against the comparability. But if we force this one same accounting to the pretty much different business models, that's just like comparing the water and oil.
I think if you want to capture the hearts and minds of preparers on leases, and be sensitive to the cost, I think we have to stress that ultimately it's the investor that bears these costs, because we are the financial stakeholder in the company, and it's us that say we think it's worthwhile. We pay the cost. You pay the bill, but we share the cost. And I think that's maybe a message we need to get across. And I think I fully agree with your call to materiality. Materiality is like, it applies here as well as water. And we can make a claim. I don't probably, going into lesser accounting, I don't think the world is too focused on the cost of the lessor. It's a core business. There are lessors. If it's insignificant, it's already covered by the materiality. I agree on the focus on materiality and say we bear the cost. That's probably a statement we can make.
Well, to make my position a little bit more clear, when I said about the materiality and restore accounting, these are the sort of the interrelated. So for those companies, for which they are basing the material businesses, then do what we do, exposure draft says. And for the other companies, maybe we can allow them to use the sort of the operating this type of the accounting that has been required for them before.
I know.
It sounds like we've got support for a letter. sounds like we need to very definitely cover the cost issue. I think your idea of who ultimately bears the cost is quite an important one as well. I suspect we would not come to agreement based on we've discussed this in the last meeting of type A, type B, all of that. So I think we must probably leave that aside and just focus on just the initial bit. Is that where we, or do we want to just have 2 minutes? No minutes left on lessor accounting.
I think you're right. We have to, what might be useful is somebody's going to have to, a smaller group needs to track it.
Yeah.
What I suggest is we throw in what we think the key points are that we want. I think one of the things we might want to decide is whether we want to only talk about what we all agree on or if we want to talk about where we disagree.
Yeah.
And I think one of the places that we disagree is that I think all of us, our perfect model, in fact, is different. We all think the perfect model is different, and I think the consensus is if we don't get our model, and I know that you had your model and I have a different one, and I think we all have it, but if we don't get your model, our model, is the ISB model okay? And I think the answer is we actually think it's okay, and maybe that's where the consensus is. But what I suggest is that each of us send to whoever's going to be the scribe, the main scribe, what are the key things we think should be in there. Somebody needs to do a draft, circulate it around, and maybe we need a conference call to discuss some issues that can't be resolved by telephone. But that's the mechanics of how we need to do that. Can't be resolved by email.
Just a question in terms of process. How useful is it to the IAC when you're counting up letters to have a one-pager that says, we support having operating leases on balance sheet, love casino. Or do you need 14 pages to say you asked this question, here's our answer? Because I think we can probably agree on a one pager. If we start getting to 5, then it'll actually turn into 25.
My question to you would be better to have a short letter than what you could have liked. Because this would be read by the other people. And if it's 40 pages, they will just read the introduction anyhow. But I think the key message is.
That's really, I think it may be better to make it not a comment letter, but a letter from this committee to the council as a result of the, our
end effect.
Yeah, right. Because anyway, comment letter just ended already over, and we are writing this based upon the newest information. And then if it is a simple comment letter, it will be buried in the 700 others. So maybe the, of course, can be tweet it as the one of the comment letters, but not send it to the comment letter in the ISB website, but directly send it.
So more like the French presidency writing about the rhythm.
this is you guys. I'm looking at two of you. You got the prestige of being chairs. Now you have to pay.
If we're going to do it, it should be short. We have the points raised. I don't think it would take long to draft. We can do it with the peg. I mean, we could use this meeting as a peg, actually, and just get it off very quickly. So, the people representing whatever it is, $1.5 trillion, or however the special long term shareholder group justified it. But, it's true. If it's just met the ISB and made it absolutely clear that, so we'd like to send that to the letter to the Financial Times or the Hands or the Hands and copy in the FT, say, or do two actually, send it to Hands and then do it exactly the same, that, this is the screen. But what the peg is, what's the peg? Because it's actually written on the original peg, which is the IAS statement, and we can't send the letter to the FT 3 months after that. So, yes.
So if this meeting is the peg, then at lunchtime we need the draft. If we have a real newspaper deadline, maybe Jamie should do the first draft.
But the chair, do you want 5 minutes on my board?
Do you have a question?
No, no, I wanted to do less or I've wanted to do less or if we've got fun.
Do you want to break for lunch and you take 5 minutes afterwards or do you want
to? Yeah, the other thing to do is those that are interested, identify yourselves and that way.
Is everybody all right with another 10 minutes and a half an hour lunch break?
I think the suggestion of interested parties talking to Katrina over their own lunch break is a money thing. Have somebody worthy in that group on
The conference recording has ended.
With the complexity of the model. Yeah. I mean, don't go ahead and finalize on the basis of the TV. There's a difference between saying adopt the TV, which is not.
Right.
Which is not, but
yeah.
It's the question of the complexity of the model.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think there is not.
So you
set it off for a couple minutes?
Yeah.
You set it off until 1?
Yeah, well, I did. I just set it off when you
reconvene. In the context of a one-page letter.
Yeah.
And I think that's the right objective. I think it's just